left the district of Tyre and went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee into the district of the Decapolis. And people brought to Jesus a deaf man who had a speech impediment. He took him off and begged him to lay his hands on him. Jesus took him off by himself away from the crowd, and he put his finger into the man's ears and, spitting, touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven and groaned and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately the man's ears were opened and his speech impediment was removed, and he spoke plainly. He ordered them not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished, and they said, "He has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." The Gospel of the Lord. She was robbed of sight and hearing before she was 2 years old by a mysterious condition that the doctors of her time could only call a brain fever. Cut off from the world around her by means of communication, Helen Keller made her needs known as best she could. She wrote this in her autobiography about the first 5 years of her life. "I was wild and unruly, giggling and chuckling to express pleasure, kicking, scratching, uttering the choked screams of a deaf mute to indicate the opposite." Helen's family arranged their life around her. She was allowed to snatch food from the plates on the table at family meals. She was not disciplined, partially because her parents did not think that she could understand, and partially because they believed that life had been cruel enough to her already. The Keller's family life came to rise and fall on the swell of Helen's tantrums and moods. And all the while, there was this angry resentment and frustration building up in Helen. And finally, in desperation, Colonel John Keller took his daughter to Dr. Alexander Graham Bell, and Bell advised Keller to write to the Perkins Institute for the Blind in Boston. Perhaps you've seen the play, The Miracle Worker, and if so, you know that John Keller's letter brought a woman named Annie Sullivan to the Keller home. The meeting of Helen Keller and Annie Sullivan would change not only Helen's life, but the life of everyone in her family and all of those who would ever meet her. Annie Sullivan quickly realized that there was a fine, a keen mind like quicksilver trapped behind the walls of Helen's physical blindness and deafness. And she also realized that almost 7 years of the Kellers making allowances for Helen had helped her to become a virtual tyrant over the family and a prisoner of her own willfulness. It was not until Annie convinced Mr. and Mrs. Keller to let the child live alone with her in their summer house for several months that she was able to make any significant progress. But she had to put it to him very, very strongly. She said, "Helen does not need your pity. She needs your love. And if I am to teach her anything, she must depend upon me for everything." Well, imagine you being separated from your child, huh? Your little one, for 3 months. Those months of Helen's isolation were emotional pain for the Kellers and physical torture for Annie, because Helen bit and scratched and pounded on her teacher, refusing at first to even come near her. But ever so gradually, there was a bond being formed between their two strong wills. And that bond would become mutual respect, and then friendship, and finally the gateway for Helen into the world of self-communication. In the gospel today, Jesus takes a man who is deaf and dumb away from his friends and family and the crowd. And in a very intimate way, Jesus touches the man. He probes his ears and anoints the man with his own saliva. That may sound distasteful to us, if not downright uncomfortable, but this is how Jesus means to open up the man. He must first be opened up if he is to be restored to life. And I don't know about you, but I wonder if that man went with Jesus willingly. Scripture does not say. It only tells us that the people brought him to Jesus and asked our Lord to lay his hands on him. But I have to ask myself, was the man frightened? Was he resentful? Did he fight Jesus as Helen fought Annie? He had so much to gain, but in those moments when he was separated from his family and his friends and alone with Jesus, might he not have experienced the same fear and pain that Annie did, that Helen did before her miracle? Ephatha, Ephatha. That word was spoken to each one of us at our baptism. Be opened. The priest touched our ears and our mouths. May the Lord open your ears to hear his word and open your mouth to proclaim his truth to the glory of God the Father. Ephatha, be opened. Does any opening in life ever come without some pain and upheaval? Does any interior growth ever come without some loving friend probing a sensitive place in our hearts with just an honest question, like, Are you sure that's what you want? Are you sure that's good for you? Do we ever come to discover our inner resources until we're out all alone on the uncharted waters of a new job, in a new parish, a new school? Can we really understand what faith means to us until we're struggling with homesickness, until we're lying flat on our back in a hospital bed facing a serious operation? Being opened to new life can be scary. It can be frightening. And sometimes we fight God like angry, frightened children. We're used to having our way. But God understands. He knows that we're scared. And that's why he gave us Jesus, to show us that even in the most frightening, painful, darkest times of our lives, we are safe. We are ultimately and always safe.